Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour for December 27, 2018, the last day of the year 2018. Goodness, this has been a roller coaster of a year, but as for myself, I consider it at the very end a very big success, and looking into 2019 for even exponential success, based on what I've been doing. So, and actually in all fields, including have a couple new books that hopefully will come out early this year. And if not early, not too late into the year. I have a couple pictures that I'm posting on my homepage. One of them of a recently launched cruise liner. Now, this is an amazing ship. It's bigger than the world's largest aircraft carrier. I have a chart there, but this thing holds 7,000 people, has a crew of 2,200 people. This is a floating city. And anyway, take a look. It's just an incredible machine. It has 18 decks. The other picture, by the way, is going to, it has 18 decks. It's 11 football fields long, and it's, I believe, about one football field wide. So it'd be like 11 football fields all put in a row, floating out on the ocean, moving around. So quite an incredible, I think they have like 20-some pools. Just unbelievable. But my point is that tourists pay a lot of money to go on these ships. I've been on the cruises. They're just great. You know, the food and it's a fun event. So my point is that outer space someday will be like this. We are strapped. We are hogtied. We have an albatross around our neck called NASA, who thinks they're going to go back to the moon in 25 years and send three men. That's their model of outer space. It's absolutely absurd, absurd beyond comprehension that they could spend that amount of money for such a worthless goal and try and make it into some kind of goal that has value. They don't have a rocket. They cannot build a rocket. They're trying to search for other companies to work with to save face. And anyway, but look at if we could have the capability to send 7,000 people into outer space, into a space station around the Earth. People would go there, and they would pay a lot of money. Now, the other picture I have is of the scaled composites turned into Virgin Galactic. Burt Rutan started all of this, and Richard Branson came in and funded him back in the very first XPRIZE. And by the way, I'm very proud to enter the field of people who have won XPRIZE. XPRIZEs. This past year, if you hadn't heard, I was awarded the XPRIZE Technology Innovation Achievement Award, and along with that, quite a bit of other benefits, etc. But so anyway, I've entered the ranks of people like Burt Rutan, of which I'm very proud. And that I did, by the way, I had subcontracting and things that I did, but basically it was my design, it was my work. I carried it to fruition and basically took it to the finish line. But anyway, Burt Rutan's original design was the spaceship one, and Burt Rutan had built what was known as the White Knight carrier vehicle. So it was basically a jet engine vehicle that could get up to about 50,000 feet and cruise. And basically the concept was it could deliver payloads up to 50,000 feet for testing. And that was part of his design. And then they came along the XPRIZE, and he used it, the White Knight carrier vehicle, designed the Spaceship One. And hopefully I can post some of the pictures of those that I picked up at the took myself at the Oshkosh Air Show, and I forget which year that was. It was probably, you know, in the mid-2000s, early 2000s. But anyway, Burt Rutan won the Ansari XPRIZE, the very first XPRIZE. Now he has a White Knight 2, or the Virgin Galactic, and I understand Burt has retired and, of course, left this off to many good engineers. So in a, just a comment here, that's what I hope to do with my wing generator technology, where I hand it off, keep up at a high-level design activity in the company, and hand it off to a fleet of really good engineers who take it to the next level. But anyway, the picture on my homepage, White Knight 2, carrying Spaceship 2, which is a carrier vehicle to go into outer space. Basically, the design is Spaceship 1, just bigger, and capable of carrying a pilot and crew and six passengers, who would pay $250,000 each for the experience of going into the edge of outer space and coming back. Now, this is not an orbital vehicle. It does not reach velocities capable of orbiting Earth. So it just transcends the limit of outer space, which is considered to be internationally around 60 miles up, 100 kilometers up. And the idea is to, within possibly 2019, I don't know what their target date is, but to go into space. And so that's why I posted these two pictures together. The cruise ship, which we should have this type of things. Now, there are people putting hotels up and as a tourist attraction. Those have been ongoing, and they're inflatable, which is very interesting. They take up basically a rubberized, kind of like the blimps. And they expand them in outer space for a place for people to basically hang out, a space hotel. And so anyway, there are private corporations moving in that direction. And that is the point of my photographs. Okay, so on to a couple other topics here. I've said before, I was talked about this on the John Moore Show, that right now President Trump is looking for a new Secretary of Defense. And he's going to have to pick a good one that will follow his agendas, including getting us out of worthless, costly foreign wars. Now, Mad Dog Mattis was a military guy, and most military people are very much bent on protection of the United States, basically policing the world, which is tremendously expensive. But I believe myself that a person that has really spent a lot of time in the world communities and has written a series of documents outlining what he would do is Robert David Steele. So I just want you to keep an eye on that person, Robert David Steele. My vote, if there is such a thing, or my recommendation as new Department of Defense Secretary, so Robert David Steele. And look up some of his writings, and they really make sense based on very good policy for the United States. And, of course, in the world of terrorism, we have to be very aware of all of that and really who's creating it. Obama created the ISIS groups. Obama and the Clintons supported ISIS, made them grow, and now ISIS has been obliterated by Putin and Trump working together to get rid of that scourge built by Obama and Clinton. So anyway, now that scourge has been done away with, Trump has pulled out of Syria, There was one little last stronghold of ISIS, and they're going to be pretty much blown off the map, if not already, very shortly. So there is Obama's work going up in smoke and dust in the Clintons. But we have to move into the future. And the other thing that I really like about Robert David Steele is he understands that energy and water are national security issues and have to be dealt with under the Department of Defense, and has proposed a Manhattan Project-style project for energy and water. Okay, so anyway, I will move on from that topic. The tsunami this past week, horrific situation, Indonesia, tourism, the lack of warning signs, the fact that the tsunami warning system had not been functional for over 6 months, and it's only triggered by earthquakes. There was an underwater landslide, which caused the tsunami, which was not related to an earthquake. And there's a sister volcano to the Krakatoa volcano, which is going off, has been going off for a long period of time, and was related to that volcano. Just on the same note, we in the United States, the entire eastern seaboard of the United States is a sitting duck for the tsunamis that in the past have been generated, in the future could be generated from the Canary Islands by the same method, where a landslide underwater moves the water, generates a tsunami, and 6 hours later, a 200-foot wall of water could be coming in the east coast of the United States. And of course, 50% of our industry, population, government, good grief, from New York, Maine, all the way down to Florida, and the entire Florida Peninsula could be obliterated in a six-hour period, and there's no escape plan. So, this is just like a little warning. In Indonesia, hundreds, we don't know how many, maybe thousands of people died, lost, missing. And that scenario right there in the Sunda Strait, where volcanic activity, tsunamis are very common. Remember, it was the tsunami that started in that same region that devastated the entire coastal region of India just a few years ago. I'll tell you, living on the coastlines could be problematic. And people don't think about it when buying a house or locating, but it's very dangerous, very dangerous. Recently, in 2018, there was a barrage of Planet X. Oh, Planet X is going to kill us all, and supposedly there's another one related to sometime in 2019. But the point I want to make is that these are disinformation planted stories, and they're not having the effect on the public that they used to, thank goodness. But they still want to keep up these stories. And I spent a good part of the last two decades dispelling the baloney, and a lot of the people that are in that false Planet X baloney industry have faded away. They finally have succumbed to, just zero interest in what they're doing and went away. But the CIA is still out there trying to throw headlines at people, trying to make them think and trying to destroy the topic. There is a real story to Planet X. It's not the one you see in the headlines or blown all over the evening news, nor opposed by NASA. At any rate, this is an interesting story that the Vatican astronomer has recently called for scientific meetings between the Vatican and science. And now, I announced this on my show quite a while ago, where the Vatican called meetings to call in evolution specialists from around the world to get their story compatible. The church, the Catholic Church, now let me just make sure that you understand how we separate this out. The Vatican has been taken over by Jesuits. The Vatican astronomer is a Jesuit. This is the front, or the Rothschild banking industry, of which our Federal Reserve is a subcomponent. The Bank of London is a subcomponent. The German banking system, which covers Europe. And anyway, the Vatican, when you talk about it, they claim to be the head of the Catholic Church, but they got their fingers in a lot of other stuff, including astronomy. And anyway, the head of the observatory of the Vatican is a Jesuit, and he has called for meetings between scientists and previously evolution scientists to coordinate the stories so that the church is compatible with science. And that is his message, that there's no conflict between science and the church, the church teachings, etc. Also talked about their belief that there are aliens. And when Pope Francis came to New York about a year ago, he was on his world tour, he was going to promote two things, global climate change and the alien issue. He said he was going to release information that the Vatican was holding on aliens. And he never did that because there was so much publicity over the pedophile issue and the Vatican. So he never really announced it. A major issue in 2018 and will be ongoing into 2019 will be issues created by the Vatican. Now, there's a worldwide effort, and I'll just include some examples. One called Google Education, which is trying to homogenize education. So all of the world is educating youth with the same baloney. And it's important for them to have their story straight. So the Catholic Church is consistent with science, and science is consistent with, you know, on and on. The entire point here is that they don't want conflicting messages coming out of this centralized world government. So they are moving literally towards a world government, and the way you start that world government, the way you plant the seeds, is in education. So they eliminate borders, and it's rather comical because the Vatican is, there's no place on the planet that is more restrictive and less diverse than the Vatican. Yet they're out preaching like, oh, we all have to be diverse, and we all have to accept millions of people from foreign countries into the United States. He criticized Trump for Trump's immigration policies, yet the Vatican does not allow a single person to enter its little empire. And but one of the big battles we're going to have in the future is against this globalized information system that is being forced down the young people's throats. So they all think the same thing, and it's centered around science. This is not a mistake or just another thing that the Jesuits are interested in astronomy. They are very interested in making sure there's a homogenized, blended, pasteurized message going out to the worldwide public on science about the Big Bang. Now, all of a sudden, the Vatican is, black holes in the Big Bang are part of the Catholic Church and the God's teaching. And you see the message. It's like when they used to coronate the kings of France or of England. It would be done in the church, and that would be the, it still is, and that would give the image that the coronation is from God. The royalty around the world, including England, are not subject to laws. They cannot be prosecuted. They cannot be brought under common law. When they say common law, that's for the commoners. the royalty and above do not are not subject to laws. They can do whatever they want, and there's no legal system that can go after them. On the inside, what I would term tier one knowledge, on the inside, the Vatican, the tier one science, which is the U.S. military, etc., is that at one level of science. In tier two and three science, tier two science is what you would consider, say, top scientists at NASA or JPL. Those are tier two scientists. They don't ever see tier one science. Tier one science is secret. Once you get into that, you don't get out. It's completely covered. Those scientists will be killed if they even let on who they are. So you never see their names. You don't know who they are, etc. Tier two science is garbage science, and it's designed like the flat earth in the Middle Ages to teach that to the public. So that, in fact, they're still trying to pawn off flat earth on you, the public. You hear people come up with that all the time. They're still trying to pawn that off on the public. Anything to keep you from knowing the real truth. Okay, just one more comment. I made a comment about this on the John Moore show yesterday that there have been major discoveries in Antarctica, and I can tell you it deals with man and civilization, and they probably have discovered entire civilizations that were flash frozen in place, and that's all secret. That's all hush-hush, and it's something that you as public will never see. Just a quick comment on the MR9 filters. Remember, I had the deal where you buy the MR5 filter and whole house filter, and you pay another $600 and you get the MR9 set. We're down to one or two MR9 systems left, and those ones, they're sold out. We're going to wait until the stainless steel units come in probably late January, early February. We don't have a specific date. So we only have one or two of the MR9 filters left. So that deal about getting an MR9 for the price of an MR5 is about to end. When the next one or two people buy those and we clear off the shelf, that's it. I'll be taking that sales down. So if you're interested in a whole house filter, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. Just select the secure web ordering page link. Go there and scroll down to the bottom of the table of water filters. They're the whole house water filters, and it explains the sale there. The whole house water filter is $2,750. That includes a maintenance kit. That's the entire replacement pack of filter elements. It's going to see you years into the future as far as water filtration for your whole house. And what we'll do is send you an invoice after paying the $2,750. We'll send you an invoice for $600 and then send you the MR9, which is an amazing deal. This is about a $2,000 reduction in price, just so we can, as a way of finishing off the sales of these MR9s. Okay, so anyway, because we ran out of the MR5s, and this is based on, as I said, we're waiting for new stainless steel housings to come in after the first of the year. So anyway, go to my webpage if you're interested in the whole house filter. That sale is about to end. And we still have a 30% reduction sale on all the other house filters, the kitchen filters, etc., and replacement filter packs. The best filters in the world remove everything that you don't want in your water in one single filter. You do not need an add-on. All the other competitors have to have an add-on filter just for arsenic and fluoride. And those are taken out in my GF filters, in the filters themselves. Okay, so I'm going to jump onto my list here of the biggest issues of 2018 and then going into 2019. The first issue from 2018 is George Bush Sr. dies. Now, here is a one-man wrecking ball from the time he was a young man back in, literally, in World War II days. From the best we know, he was involved in the death of Tesla and the absconding of all of Tesla's work. That was one of the first things George Bush Sr. does. And I'm going to comment this, too. I've seen him a number of times recently in interviews, and his nickname was Poppy. Now, you might think, well, that's because he's, you know, an elderly man. He's got kids. His nickname was Poppy because the CIA, Poppy, drug dealing in Afghanistan. He was one of the essential people to bring on the Afghan war and protect the poppy fields, which was the source of the heroin traffic, the CIA drug trafficking in the Western Hemisphere. And the fields, the poppy fields in Afghanistan, are the source of that, the primary source. So anyway, this guy, my comment is that this guy could look like just the swellest old down-home guy, just family-oriented. Really, I saw him make a comment on TV about Ronald Reagan when the Challenger spaceship blew up, and Reagan had to go on the air and you know, give his message to the country. And I saw George Bush Sr. give an interview, and he said, I couldn't have done that. I would have just broken up. I was just too heartbroken about the whole event. I couldn't have gone on like Reagan. And you think, gee, here's George Bush, the sensitive guy. Here's a guy that's so two-faced. He could pull that off, and he's very convincing. But he was in the Vietnam War, in Cambodia, the CIA, and torture. Oh, my goodness. Here's a guy with war crimes, started wars, was instrumental in taking down the Twin Towers, almost had it done under his watch as president, but it didn't. They blew off the pillars down the bottom of the World Trade Towers, but the buildings didn't fall. Remember that? Oh, my goodness. The drug trafficking back in MENA, Arkansas, with Bill Clinton. Here is a guy that was so corrupt and so vilely just in against the human race. A guy who ran the presidency from the time John Kennedy was assassinated. Here's a guy that couldn't tell you where he was when John Kennedy was assassinated. Everybody, I was a kid in school, and I remember the message coming over the PA system. I remember the shape of the little box up in the front of the classroom, and the teacher's reaction, and the students' reaction as we heard that the president, John Kennedy, had been assassinated in Dallas. Everybody knows where they were. How about the guy who's the head of the CIA, who can't remember where he was the day John Kennedy was killed? Well, we all know where he was. He was in Dallas. He was running the operation to assassinate John Kennedy. And that's George Bush Sr., Poppy. Oh, my goodness. So 2018, good riddance to one of the most corrupt politician, people, head of the CIA, vice president under Ronald Reagan. He ran the Reagan White House, believe me, handing off to his longtime drug partner, Bill Clinton. And just to give you an idea, when Hillary Clinton lost the election, the first words out of her mouth were that she blamed George Bush Sr. for not fixing the election enough so she would win. Anyway, next topic. I'm going to read off the topics here. This is taking off from 2018 going into 2019. Here are the major topics: energy, water, pedophilia, social chaos in Europe, the homelessness in the United States, fake news, fabricated news, education. I just talked a little bit about education. Science, fake science news, the internet and phone surveillance, food, trying to get decent food, unchemical food without chemicals. And the family is just under amazing attack. And then the 2020 election. I'm going to first make a comment about the 2020 election, going back to the 2016 presidential election and then the 2018 midterm elections. There is vast cheating going on in the election system in the United States. And when I say vast, I'm talking in terms of numbers. The actual locations of the cheating are very few. It's 10. There's a total of 10 cheating locations in the United States that are enough to carry a presidential election. And Trump was amazing that he could use the Electoral College to win. And in fact, according to my mathematical regression analysis, Trump won by a total of 17 million votes. It was a landslide, and Hillary Clinton received those 17 million cheating votes and still could not win. And that's why she was so blown away. Those same 10 cheating centers were the location of the 60 seats that were won by the Democrats to give them the House of Representatives. So you're going to see cheating at an unprecedented level in the 2020 election. Okay, so let me go back to the beginning of my list. I have a video that's on my webpage, and I start out saying it's the 10 top problems in the world. And it starts out with energy. The second one is water. Then there are other like population growth, food, terrorism, as a list of other major problems in the world. But the first two are energy and water. And that's something I'm working on specifically. I'm of the firm belief that in 10 years, we can be completely off of the major sources of electrical energy and have electrical transportation in the United States. But it's going to take a concerted effort of developing the wing generator and then also water management. We do not have a water problem in the United States nor in the world. We have a water management problem. It's just horrendous. I have a book that I send out for free. When people order any product, if you order any product on my sales page, I send out along with it for free the water book. And so it's something a lot of people receive and have read, but it describes the world conditions in water. The ownership of water, governments taking over water rights from the public, giving them away to foreign national corporations, etc. But those water and energy, the two biggest problems in the world, it's something that I'm working on daily. And if you can solve the energy issue, then you can solve the water issue. But water is very heavy. A gallon of water is like 6 to 7 pounds. So just moving 1 gallon of water takes some effort. Moving 100 gallons of water, you couldn't pick it up. You'd have to move it in 5 gallon buckets. And then, moving water is very difficult. It takes a lot of energy. So to have energy, to filter energy, to have water, to filter water, to move water, to pump water from the ground, from wells, to move it from reservoirs, etc., requires energy. To develop infrastructure for water requires energy. So energy and water go hand in hand, and that's why I'm specifically myself dedicating a lot of my time to solving those issues. Next topic, pedophilia. Now, a lot of people don't realize that the core issues that we're dealing with in Washington, D.C., amongst politicians who are owned and controlled is through pedophilia. And it's an unbelievable situation, and most people are totally unaware of it, that when new senators and congressmen over the past, I hope the new crew of senators and congressmen, I don't think they're going to be beset with this, because Trump is going after these people. And that's why a lot of congressmen quit, because the observation of what's going on in D.C. is finally becoming public. And they're going after these people and the networks of pedophilia, where there's basically ruining the lives of children for this insane satanic practice. And anyway, the top three places where pedophilia exists is in the Catholic Church, in Washington, D.C., and in higher levels of government around the world. So anyway, it's an issue which you think is maybe solitary, that it's an issue all to itself, but it is deeply ingrained in the political structure of the world. And so anyway, I put that number three on my list. And when you're dealing with human trafficking, along with drug trafficking, by the way, these are two areas where the CIA is heavily involved. So anyway, my recommendation is we got to get rid of the CIA. It is not American. It never was American. It's never going to be American. It is a corrupt agency that takes its laundered illicit money and buys high-tech corporations. It buys organizations like Google or Twitter or Facebook, and uses them to consolidate information about the public. The CIA is, as far as I can tell, the most corrupt agency ever to exist on the face of the earth. Okay, so anyway, next on my list, social chaos in Europe. Europe is really having grave problems. And here's the problem. Europe, up to a certain point up in history, was a very civilized place. If you look at Switzerland, if you look at France or Germany, very, very civilized, very cultured. And this went under when, like, the Merkel policy of bringing in countless people from the Mideast, and that's one of the objectives of the Mideastern wars, is to create all of these homeless people, basically, and run them into Europe. But along with them are real terrorists, people who are going to Europe to create problems. So they don't talk about the rape problem. They don't talk about the other social problems they're having in Europe. But the people who live there have just been inundated, as the same with Australia. But the problem in social chaos in Europe is something that is going to be a major factor in 2019. It was in 2018. It's going to continue in 2019. And it looks like right now the final confrontation in the United States to build the border wall to protect the United States. Now, we just saw that with the caravan, where a large number of the caravan people, now, this was sponsored. This wasn't just people who decided to get up and walk to the American border one day, the Mexican-American border. These were people who were organized. They were solicited. Their families were paid for them to come. They received transportation. They received food and assistance along the way from international groups whose purpose was to try and break the border of the United States. And at this point, it looks like the U.S. government is just going to be shut down until that issue is solved. And that's what the issue is about. The shutting down of the U.S. government is, that's the way it's going to stay until the border wall is, and that is, by the way, what the American public voted for. When they voted for Trump, that's what they voted for. was a border wall and protection. Now, that isn't protectionism. Protectionism is where you close down and basically keep everything in your borders and don't let anything out. That is protectionism. Like, we have it good here. We're not going to deal with anybody else. It turns out that the United States is the really the most open country in the world. We take on more new citizens every year than all of the other countries in the world combined, even though we do not have the highest population. The United States is, with our 300 million people, accept more people every year than China or any of the other big population countries. But you have to limit who the number of people coming in based on the quality of those people. Right now, the majority of people coming into the country are not able to support themselves in any way. So anyway, the border wall is an issue which, like it or not, the American people voted for when they voted for Trump. And in vast numbers, that was one of the primary issues. Okay, so it's going to continue to be an issue, including, like I say, the chaos in Europe. You see what's going on there when you had unchecked immigration. Homelessness in the United States. Now, this is something that most people are unaware of. In fact, I have to admit, I was unaware of it until I got some education recently from people I know. The homeless situation on the West Coast and the East Coast, here's the situation. And I'm not talking about people who lost their jobs. That's there. There are vast numbers of people who have lost their jobs, cannot get a job, and are just literally living on the streets. The homeless people that, the really growing number of homeless people are people who have jobs. They have employment, but they can't afford to even rent an apartment. They're working, so they're literally sleeping in the back of their car or somewhere and going to work, but the amount of money they make at work is not enough to pay for the for housing, because the housing values have just skyrocketed beyond belief. And the reason the housing market has skyrocketed is because Chinese and other international investment in the United States. I'm told that up in the high-tech areas of Seattle and San Francisco, LA, down to San Diego, that those high-tech areas, the Chinese have moved in and purchased up houses, and the housing market is going through the roof to where people cannot afford housing. So it's really an amazing situation, but the homelessness in the United States is growing in spite of a booming economy. And so anyway, just a quick mention about the economy right now. The stock market is tanking, and there's a fight going on between the Federal Reserve and President Trump. And the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates, which is causing lack of confidence in investment. So the stock market is dropping down. And so at any rate, this is a form of punishment against Trump for having an economy that's succeeding. Now, economies, according to the World Bank, are supposed to have cycles where the economy succeeds for a while. And the standard cycle is that the very wealthy people come in, drop the market, and suck all the wealth out, and then let the market build up again slowly. A market left by itself will just build and build and build, and that's what was going on. So the Fed stepped in, raised interest rates at a time when it just was not necessary, and also just to mention on trade war with China. The standard policy of prior presidents was to just let that continue. Let China steal our intellectual property, steal patents, steal our workers, steal our factories, and just let it happen. And that's what happened. The final phases were to happen under Hillary Clinton, but she didn't get elected. Under Obama, most of the factory jobs had already left. The blue-collar work had gone to Mexicans who were illegal aliens, and the final phases of Obamacare, bringing everybody under socialist medicine, and the final dismantling of the United States was supposed to take place under Hillary Clinton. But, of course, the people came out. They finally woke up en masse and voted in such record numbers that Donald Trump won the election. And this is something that, as I said, he won by 17 million votes, an absolute landslide, unprecedented landslide victory. And my regression analysis showed that in using four different mathematical methods and also identifying where the cheating was taking place. And by the way, I'll just give you that list once again. The cheating was taking place in the, although these are liberal centers, so to speak, so it would be like the Seattle, Portland area, the San Francisco area, Los Angeles, certain sections of Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Denver, Chicago, New York, and Dade County, Florida. This was, I didn't give all of them, but those were the major population centers. And then, of course, those swing states of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Philadelphia, and Pennsylvania, and Ohio were those, the other ones, although Trump won those. And so that's, remember, Hillary Clinton never went to those states to work on her campaign. She just assumed she was going to win them, but she didn't. And the same with Florida. And so when the word came in early in the voting, I remember during the election night of 2016 presidential election, when the word came in that Trump took Florida, that's when everybody on both sides, really the ears went up, because Hillary Clinton was supposed to take Florida because of the cheating down in Miami-Dade County, in Fort Lauderdale, down to Miami. That was supposed to take all of Florida, and she didn't pull it off. Then came the next states, then the next state, and Trump kept winning those big eastern states. And so everybody knew that even though the vast amount of cheating, 17 million votes, the Electoral College was probably going to go to Trump. And so at any rate, very important to understand that that is a major factor coming up, because those people are coming back. They were able to swing the House with the control of a number of seats in the House. But once again, from those same 10 cheating centers, and they're going to do everything they can to try and get Trump out of office. But he's pretty stable. The economic downturn right now is basically due to, it's like an attack on Trump for his success in bringing this country up to economic superiority. Okay, so the next topic, so that was a little bit of a side note about homelessness. Fake news, fabricated news. In the Gulf War, the first Gulf War under George Bush Sr., after the war, the CIA went out and bought CNN from the Ted Turner network. And it went for a big price tag at the time, but the CIA realized that it did not control the news. So CNN was the first major news organization to be purchased by the CIA. And so Anderson Cooper, all these people you see are CIA disinformation agents. They were trained, they were schooled in basically taking stories and twisting them and twisting the news. And so it's right now the CIA owns vast networks of news agencies, newspapers, etc. And it's all controlled by a very few people so that they have a coordinated message to give to the American public and to the world. So fake news is going to become even bigger in the future. So get ready. Make sure you listen to your best alternative news sources and, you know, MSNBC, The New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, and CNN, of course, as the king of CIA disinformation. That will be ongoing and unrelenting in the future. Education is something that is taking a worldwide scope with Google Education, with the Vatican stepping in to homogenize the message across the board on history, on the history of man, on science. This all is an effort to make a coordinated statement so that there's no contradictions, so that no matter what source you get your information from whether it's the Catholic Church or the evening news or it's the history book you read in school, all of those are going to say the same thing. And with that consistent message, they're going to promulgate complete garbage onto the public. So education is one of the biggest fields where they're going to control the future youth. So as those youth come up to become adults, they don't have a clue what's going on in the world or who's running it or why. So education, educational standard education, etc., is going to come in at a level that people just don't even comprehend yet. Next topic, fake science news. Places like spaceweather.com, space.com, you know, the published journals like Science and Nature, journals or magazines like Science or Astronomy, Sky and Telescope, and other outlets like, say, Science News, all homogenized, blended, giving the same message, complete disinformation about science and especially space science and about the history of man, on and on. I mean, the coordination that's going on is the part that's phenomenal. The end game here is back in the day when computers first came out, people started projecting and calling what they called knowledge systems or expert systems, where the idea was you would take all the experts in the world and each one would give their information on a certain topic, and then you would put this into a database, and finally we would have canned knowledge. You would be able to go there and all of the truth of the universe would be in this computer. The only problem is all I had was complete baloney. You know, the origin of the solar system and of mankind, and you know, history was totally distorted, had been rewritten. You know, I mean, even recent history gets rewritten very quickly and homogenized. Take recent events like the Kennedy assassination or the 9/11 event, how it's so quickly a standard story is promulgated and goes out to you, the public, and then that is the story. And anybody who opposes that is a conspiracy theorist or, you know, on and on and on. So fake science news. Now, science is the core. The scientific information should be the core of what we know, because science should be diligent, should be exacting, observational, objective, and it's anything but that. And that includes, let me just put in a side note in here about NASA. NASA is a giant waste. The idea that they're going to put a man back on the moon, or allegedly back on the moon, by the year, in 25 years, all of the NASA employees that are there now will be long retired before that ever happens. So they all know that as long as they can keep this charade going that somehow they're going to go back to the moon, that they really don't have to do anything. They can collect a paycheck, and that's what they're there for, to get their paycheck, get to retirement, and whoosh, okay, now they can golf. They can buy that nice house down in Arizona or down in, you know, Florida, whatever, retire. And, you know, the fact that they ripped off the country without doing anything is a moot point at that point. Okay, so science, fake NASA, fake science programs. And then above that, tier one science that's not telling you what's going on, the discoveries in Antarctica. I guarantee you that the military science, tier one science, has lots of machines on Mars roving around up there looking at archaeological digs of the human race that had been there prior to the great disaster. So they know that, but they're not going to tell you, the public. Okay, internet and phone surveillance. With the 5G phones that are coming in, that is surveillance to the max, along with internet. This is a great problem for any free country, any free people. Internet and phone surveillance. Okay, food. This is a huge issue. Trying to find non-GMO organic food that was grown with clean water is a very difficult thing to do. More and more farming is becoming local. People are, the farmers are realizing that people are going to buy non-GMO and organic, and that's happening on a bigger scale. But for the general population, it's hard to find food that is not ridden with chemicals. The family unit is under amazing attack. There's a worldwide organization that's called the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And one of the very first things they talk about is that the natural and fundamental element of societies that have protection of society and the state. And the first thing they define is the family. And this is interesting, and what they define is the family is either made up of people who are related by blood and birth, as that is mother, father, uncles, aunts, related by birth. And the second one is the family related by marriage, so that a man and woman are married and constitute a family with the idea of procreating children through natural birth. These are international organizations, and that fundamental principle is under attack from Hollywood, music, news. That's what Obamacare was about, was destroying the family and making kids get shots. I'm about out of time here. So that's my list of issues ending 2018, going into 2019. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.